Hello, welcome to 1-2 Radio. You're on 1-2Radio.com. That is 1-2 Radio, changing the way we listen to the world. And you are listening to Pathways to Consciousness and Healing, and I'm your host, Jim Komar. Like I said, 1-2 Radio, 1-2Radio.com. And my topic tonight is sacred symbols. Just talking about the generality of symbolism throughout the ages from, you could say, thousands of years ago to the present. So that's my topic tonight. But before I start that, I'd like to mention the chat room. And basically, it's real easy to get there. Go to 1-2radio.com, click on chat, and you're there. But it's via Facebook. So you have to be a Facebook member. That's important, too. so please chime in, make comments, ask questions. I'll answer the questions via the chat room here. Also, second half, I'll be taking calls so we could talk psychic, we could talk sacred symbols, or we could talk whatever you'd like to talk about if you were to call. And also, I'd like to mention that I'm a 1-2 Listen Advisor. That's 1-2listen.com, the flip side of 1-2 Radio. So if you want to, I'm a psychic and a medium, so if you want to get up close and personal, you're not on the radio having lots of people listening to you, to what you have to say on the radio. If you don't, if you want to keep it private, please give me a call, 1-2listen.com. And also, there's some great advisors on 1-2listen.com. So I recommend, if it's not me, try someone else. Please, please. So let's start this. Sacred symbols. You could say sacred symbols are the language of the universe. I really believe that, because think about it. Before, maybe we could speak a language, maybe we created symbols in order to show our thoughts, our opinions, our ideas, and everything else, and everything else. And so as far as that goes, so you could say since sacred symbols are the language of the universe, they have the ability to lift the veil of who we are. And you could say that that veil can be thick at times, or it can be almost non-existent at times. So, and so also about, you could say, these symbols of the universe, it's the underlying geometry of universe, of humanity, excuse me. It's the underlying geometry of humanity. And what I mean by that is these symbols relate to sacred geometry, and we relate to sacred geometry. It's hence symbolism, hence angles, so forth and so on. And there's also this. Think about this. Think about what's encoded in your reality. Cell division, other images that are encoded in your reality. Think about when you see literally a video of an egg and a sperm coming together. Well, there's a sacred symbol there. That's a sacred symbol of life. We need to reproduce ourselves. We need to carry on our species. But you could say this is our encoded reality, our cell division, and other images that occur within our physical body. And these symbols are used for thousands, tens of thousands of years by mystics, say folklore, myth, all these images, a lot of these images that we are used to seeing today have been around for a long, long time. Not anything new, but renewed, you could say. And so these symbols are the archetypes, the icons of geometry in its perfection. So think about what occurs with you. With you, think about this. What occurs with you inside of your physical body? Every day, every waking moment, every sleeping moment, it doesn't matter. There's a lot of symbolism that occurs there. And that's just expressed outwardly, too, at times. And so you could say it's about, you could say, a timeless reality. Our timeless realities spring from the minds of God, from the mind of God, excuse me. I really believe that we are influenced by something greater than ourselves, the Creator, God, whatever you want to call it. So therefore, these symbols, you could say, since sacred geometry is the language of the universe and mathematics is the language of God, so therefore, it's just a translation. You could say we're translating our reality into into our visions, into our personal visions, therefore creating different ways, different new forms, or similar forms, but recreating them from thousands of years ago, or maybe new ones for that matter. And if you think about how timeless the universe is, how timeless the creator, our God is, and how the universe vibration, the vibrational level of the universe, these are the principles of these sacred symbols. There's a vibrational force behind these, that directly corresponds to all waveforms, all frequencies, and that is vibration. So as soon as, a common sacred symbol would be in the Christian religion, the cross. But if you take the cross and you change it and you add another notch at where you could say where Jesus was hung, you put another notch above that, like going across there, that is known as the cross of Lorraine. And guess who came up the cross of Lorraine? The Knights Templar. And guess who after the Knights Templar went away for one reason or another, they became the Freemasons. And the Freemasons, they still have an influence on our society today with symbolisms that they have been carrying around literally for thousands of years. thousands of years, hundreds of years, because there was, you could say the Templars had a precursor to them, and then they became the Templars. But let me give you an example of, you could say, the Freemasons' influence on sacred bulls. Exxon Mobil, that there's a big oil conglomerate, but if you look at EXXON, and if you look at the two X's coming together, that is the cross of Lorraine. Hence, you could say that has a religious feel, it has a creative feel to it. So even though we're supposed to be a secular society, well, symbols go beyond secularism. Symbols are created. So we are here. So we are here to get excited about life. Maybe here you are. Example. Let's say you like to pray every day. Okay, so let's say you're a Christian, so you pray to the cross. Okay. But I just gave you a different idea, opinion of the cross. The cross of Lorraine, which is now used today in ExxonMobil. The two double X's is the cross of Lorraine. So these sacred symbols, even though they've been around for thousands of years, they still are a part of our lives. We just don't realize it. And it's also about, your reality, how you relate to certain symbols in your life. How do you relate to something like, something as easy as, let's say, example. Boy, my mind just went blank there. So I'm just going to move on from there. I'll get back to this thought. So getting back to the sacred symbols, these symbols can be viewed as, like I said, vibrational on a visual level. Hence, that's why I said these symbols are related to sacred geometry, and sacred geometry is the, you could say, the part of the universal or part of creation there. Hence, that's why we like certain symbols in our lives. Think about it, a rectangle, a square, a triangle, a pyramid. There's a sacred symbol. That's what I was trying to think about, a pyramid shaped. Put two pyramids together, and then you have a symbol of, you could say, it's a double-shaped octagon. I'm losing it tonight. Let's continue on with this one. Now, going on with how symbols are vibrational in nature, but they're visual in nature too. Hence, they have a strong effect on us. They stay in our mind a lot longer. They give us, confidence. Now, this is interesting. One of the chatters says something about the number nine. The number nine, what is the number nine? Well, if you think about the number nine, divide that by three. Three times three is nine, and three is a sacred symbol. You could say it's the Holy Trinity. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. So as far as nine goes, when you bring it down to its lowest point, a three, and that's a sacred number, hence three. So getting back to what I was talking about, but that's a good one, because nine is considered a very sacred number, and three is the base of nine. And if you geometrically progress, three times three is nine, hence you are tapping into creation there with the number nine, hence the vibration of number nine, hence the visual effect of number nine when you see it. So you're actually igniting, you could say, parts of your brain, parts of your psyche at times when you see sacred symbols, even the number nine for that matter. So, yeah, and here we are, here I am talking about pyramids. So pyramids, they're, you could say, they've been around on this planet for thousands of years, and we continue to build them. Look in Paris. They built a big pyramid at the Louvre Museum in Paris. So pyramids are still being, are considered important aspects of sacred geometry, but it's important to people too. That's why they keep on building these things. And so, interesting, I just read a comment. I have been thinking and pondering symbols so much lately. Perfect topic. Thank you, Gabby. So symbols are, you could say, powerful images that are representing intrinsic issues. And so I'm just going to state a, this is confusion. He observed that signs and symbols rule the world, not words or laws. So there you go. Signs and symbols rule the law, rule the world, not words or laws. So here's Confucius thousands of years ago talking about sacred symbols. And here I am talking about the Knights Templar and how the Freemasons still have introduced, keep on introducing, you could say, people that are associated with the Freemasons, could be architects, could be whatever. Graphic designers, and hence they put these sacred symbols in when they're like designing logos for a company, like I said, ExxonMobil, the double X, Cross of Lorraine. So getting back to you say different times, symbols can have different interpretations, different cultures, and different times. So different times, you were talking, that symbol may mean, let's say, yellow. And then today, that same symbol could mean green. I'm just trying to throw on examples there. So as time goes on, as you evolve, as we change, as society changes, so does the meanings of the symbols change to a degree, to a slight degree, some more, some less. But in the end, it's still the same symbol. And since these symbols are, you could say, are sacred in nature, sacred geometry in nature, hence you are, when you attach yourself or you focus on that symbol, you are connecting vibrationally with something higher than yourself there. Hence, maybe it might bring you pleasure. Maybe it might bring you calmness by looking at a certain symbol. And, look at the swastika, Nazi Germany. Well, Hitler took that from India thousands of years previous, and it did not mean the same symbol as what the Nazis used, that symbol, their representation of that sacred symbol. Well, no. Thousands of years ago, that was a totally different meaning. But people change it. People can bring it conform to what they think that the world should be like, I suppose. Ah, Lin-Ann, Reiki symbols must be sacred. They are. That they are, no doubt about it. Yes, Reiki has been around for hundreds and hundreds of years. So just by knowing that, whatever symbols that Reiki is or Reiki can produce, and vibrationally speaking, since you're talking about Reiki energy, hence you're connecting into something greater than yourself. Every time you tap into these old symbols that have been around for a long time, you're tapping into something better, greater than yourself. So kind of like take it in, the Star of David, five-pointed star. And then there's, speaking of going back to the Freemasons, they believed in the six-pointed star. So there you go. And at one point, that the Pentagon, Pentagon, yeah, that's the word. that some people thought it meant the devil. So there you go. As time goes on, these symbols changes, but the shapes never changes. It's just the meanings change because people are evolving and changing, and societies are evolving and changing. Hence, that's what it is, how it goes so far. And what's interesting is, look at the Far East. You could say, let's take a common symbol, a circle. What does a circle mean to you? There's no beginning, there's no end. It's sacred because it just continues, just like you. So think about the circle and think about you, how you evolve. There's no beginning, no end for you. So that's just food for thought right there. That's it. Thank you, Pentagon. Eight-sided. I appreciate that, Taylor. Thank you very much. So it's also about you. You know, like how it relates to you. When you look at a circle, how do you relate to that circle? Is it just a circle to you? It's just a dot on the paper? Or is it something more? Or let's say you go to a pyramid in the Mayan Peninsula from their societies, and you're walking up one of their pyramids. How does that relate to you? How do you feel? You see, what I'm talking about, when these sacred symbols, when you're, you could say, really involved with any of these symbols, Lynn, the circle of life. There you go. Thank you, Lynn. That was beautiful. What symbols are lucky to you? What symbols are unlucky to you? And, look at symbols that represent, you could say, reincarnation. Look at symbols that represent, fields of energy. And so all these fields of energy, you could say a symbol from, well, let me start. There's an identical. What I mean by identical is that you have choices every day. So what do you want to do with these symbols? How do you want them to rule your life? Do you want to rule your life in a positive way? Well, you think when you go fill up your tank at an Exxon station and you see the Cross of Lorraine and you see today that was developed in the 50s, I believe, that some graphic designer, obviously he was influenced by the Freemasons to bring that in. And you think about our galaxy, the Milky Way galaxy. It's a spiral. Now that's a sacred symbol. Okay. And there are points on the spiral of the galaxy, of our spiral galaxy, that are mathematically identical to certain petals on a flower. So there's a lot of interconnection with sacred symbols too. What works for one side, on the other side, the yin and the yang of these sacred symbols. So you could say mathematically, they're identical, but they're different symbols. They're totally different in shape and design. But they mean the same things. So it's just an interesting concept there. And it's also, you know, by tapping into, you could say, sacred symbols that are around you, I believe that you can create peak experiences throughout your life by using these sacred symbols. And what I mean by peak experiences, like bringing up things, like being the manifester you want to bring to the world, who you want to be in the world. So allow these sacred symbols to be a part of your life. You know, what I mean by a part of your life, they don't rule your life, but let them inspire you to go beyond what you're, where you're at now. That's what I'm talking about here. And, you know, thousands of years, these symbols, you know, you could say enabled artists, craftsmen, mystics, all sorts of individuals to produce these powerful images. And you could say at first these powerful images were produced to control, maybe, but it's also these sacred images are there to allow you to be free. And I'm liking this, what's happening in the chat room. I was talking about, the circle, you know, and everyone's talking about it, you know, ending equals new beginning. So you could say, yes, in a circle, there's never a beginning. There's never an end. You just continue on. You're just going to continue on. Just think when you leave your body, your soul continues on. So therefore, mathematically, or in a sacred symbol, you never really go away. You just change form. But you can always recreate yourself in a physical body too at times when you're ready to come back after you made the passing here. So getting back to the sacred symbols, symbols rule the word. You could say they rule the word, not words and laws. And what I mean by that, think about video games, movies, buildings, cartoons, you know, they're full of symbols. And you know, they're very subtle. You could say these people that put their, these sacred symbols behind certain things, yin and yang. Yeah. Yeah. And okay, good. I'm getting the, and so just, they try to be subtle with these sacred symbols. So see if you notice it. So maybe a director will say, let's put this one in and see what happens. Or maybe he or she has the purpose for that particular symbol in a video, in a video game or a movie. It doesn't matter. Or on a front of a building for that matter. And you know, and one thing about, you say, these sacred symbols, since they're sacred geometry, they contain lots of information. And what I mean by lots of information, not only vibrational information, they tend to carry information. All you have to do is tap into the sacred symbol. So just know that. Tap into it. And what I mean by tapping into it, just look at it and daydream. That's all you have to do. See what happens. Be a daydreamer. When you're a daydreamer, your world can open up to incredible places. And you could say using sacred symbols could get you there a little quicker by you just focusing on something. Any symbol that really has a deep meaning to you, because there's lots of sacred symbols out there. And and one thing about, you could say, the power of any symbol lies within the symbol. It's not just the shape. It's the, you could say, the interior of the symbol. Because like I said, it's the vibration of the symbol. It's the stored information of the symbol. And how it relates to you. How do you relate to it? How do you relate to it emotionally or mentally? Does it bring you joy or does it bring you anger? Because you don't know, it has horrible taste in your mouth, whatever. But I will be back. Second half of the show, I'm taking a 5-minute break here. Second half of the show, I will be taking phone calls. But until then, remember, peace and love. Be back in 5.
This is Christine Demoyer, and you found us, 12radio.com. Welcome to the family.
Would you like to talk to the host? The phone lines are open. Call 857-232-0155, extension 870-303.
This is Jim Pomar from Pathways to Consciousness and Healing. Come join me every Thursday at 5 p.m. Pacific Time to discuss interesting topics and have good conversations. That's Pathways to Consciousness and Healing, every Thursday at 5 p.m. Pacific Time on 12radio.com. 12 Radio, changing the way we listen to the world.
This is Eddie. This thing called life, it's an adventure. Sometimes it's fun, sometimes it's just downright painful. But you know, every experience that we grow through is really bringing us back to ourselves. And we have the answers within us. If we can just take the time to pause and be still and ask for guidance. Sometimes we need to reach out for support. That's what I'm here to do. To be that hand that you can hold on to. When your ground feels shaky, I am here to serve you soul food for your consciousness every Tuesday, 7 a.m. Pacific on 12 Radio, where we are changing the way you dance with life and the way you listen to your soul. Tune in and be served. 12 Radio.
Did you know it's easy to talk to your angels? It's so simple that sometimes we miss the messages. Hi, I'm Peggy Reeser, Angel Intuitive at 12listen.com, and I'm here to help you pick up your angel voicemail. Once you know that password, you can do it anytime. Talk to you soon.
Are you a psychic? Not psychic, but a psychic. A psychic can be an astrologer, a numerologist, a tarot reader, or someone that has a rapport in the angelic realm. It's someone who can bypass the getting to know you phase and jump right into the I see you phase. At 12listen.com, we're looking for psychics with more than 3 years professional experience and who know and understand the 12 family values. And we're always changing. We can do readings from the phone, chat room, email, and soon video. And let's not forget about the 12 Radio and 12 Academy venues. Being a professional psychic is hard work, and we'd like to make it a little easier for you. You want to find out more? Write us. 12HR at 12listen.com. And this is Mark Husson, reminding you that whatever you choose, choose happiness first.
Hey, Mo. I'm so glad you could meet with me today. I really want to spice up Mondays on 12 Radio. You know, new slogan, new voiceovers. I think it would be fun to hammer out some ideas with each of the hosts. So today, it's you and me.
Well, hi, Christy. I think it's a great idea. When you say voiceovers, what do you mean?
Well, at first I thought we could use an ethnic voice, you know, to show our support of every culture.
It's a good idea, Kimosabi. Very happy.
Then I thought it should be, you know, more feminine to acknowledge our largest listenership.
Oh, well, of course. That's a fine idea.
Hey, Mo, do you need a glass of water?
No, I'm okay.
Occasionally, I thought about a playful cartoon voice.
Hey, boo-boo. The ranger is waiting.
Then I was thinking, you know, like a vampire or some kind of European voice.
Oh, that's a wonderful idea. I like the vampire voice.
But I'm leaning toward more scholarly tone.
Of course. For example, Out of Mo's Mind, brought to you by Scott's Liquid Gold.
Wait, Mo. Oh, I've got it. You're a genius.
Well,
I'll go call Scott. He's a master of voices. Wow. Great meeting.
Yeah, great meeting.
Mondays on 12 Radio, come and hear all the different voices.
This is psychic medium Christina LaFrance, advisor on 12listen.com. Together, let's take the time to explore our inner world, discovering the gifts of even our most rejected qualities and why embracing all of who we are is the key to our freedom, our peace, and aligning to our own destinies. Please join me every Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time and noon Eastern Time for the Christina LaFrance Show right here on 12 Radio, where we're changing the way we listen to the world.
You're listening to 12 Radio, and 12 Radio listens to you. Call us now, 857-232-0155, extension 870-303.
Welcome back to Pathways to Consciousness and Healing. I'm your host, Jim Komar, and you're on 1-2 Radio, 1-2Radio.com, changing the way we listen to the world. And my topic tonight is sacred symbols, our sacred symbols. I guess since I'm using the plural and symbols, I better use the right verb here, our sacred symbols. Anyway, there's interesting, Becky here made a comment, says, I am drawn to flowers, lotus, lilies, etc. Well, think about the lotus flower, very sacred symbol of the chakras. The Hindus who came up with the idea of chakras, probably pre-Hindu, but that's okay. But a lot of things are pre before they are present anyway. Think about how a lotus flower can grow out of the mud and create something beautiful, create new life from where there was no life. So there's a deep symbolism there. There's a deep physical symbolism, emotional symbolism with our body. And also you could say the symbolism of watching something as beautiful as a lotus flower open and grow. And there's also in the chat room tonight, how can I incorporate this in my life, these sacred symbols? Well, if you are attracted to a particular symbols or a number of symbols, do a little research, see what they mean. But just get the general meaning, the general gist of what's going on, that these symbols that you're attracted to, and then make them personal, because they are personal. Because when you're attracted to a certain symbol, like I said, they create certain vibrations, so therefore they're in tune with your vibrations. So find out, you could say, the meaning of these sacred symbols, but also go on a personal level, what they mean to you and how they can make calm you down maybe at times, or maybe bring clarity to the thoughts in your minds. So that, you know, just kind of answering that question, how can I incorporate these symbols in my life? Well, that's good. And I think of dreams, R symbol too. Okay, R. R is the letter, but R can mean many things. The first letter in many words. Is it right? There you go. So, getting back to the idea of sacred symbols, how they rule our lives. Like here I am talking about the lotus flower with Becky here, saying how she's so attracted to the lotus and the lily for that matter. But the lily flower has been attracted for tens of thousands of years by people around the planet, around this beautiful planet of ours. And we're just bringing it back. We're just bringing it back to our, you could say, our recognition, our understanding of what it means to us on a deep personal level. That's why I'm saying these sacred symbols, they have like a meaning, but then there's many meanings with inside meanings here. And what meanings are you getting from them? Like if you look at something, maybe you look at a sacred symbol that you really, that maybe means something to you. Look at it before you go to bed. See what happens. They're talking about dreams in the chat room. See what dreams come up. Before you go to bed and you have a favorite sacred symbol, or you have a couple of them, just look and kind of explore. You could say explore your psyches with the sacred symbols. And it's also, get this, okay, look at the, on a dollar bill, the United States currency, the back of a dollar bill. Well, guess what? There's lots of sacred symbols. Who designed the currency? Freemasons, who were Freemasons before they were Freemasons, the Templars. So a lot of these symbols have been around for tens of thousands of years. They're just, you could say, up to date, more modern from when they were 1,000 years ago or 5,000 years ago for that matter, more modern. And I got a quote from Carl Jung here. He believed that symbols occur with the same meaning across an individual cultural boundaries. In other words, what he's saying here, these symbols have similar meanings from culture to culture. They might be off a little from Costa Rica. A symbol might have a slightly different meaning from someone who lives in Peking, China, or Tokyo, Japan for that matter, because there's cultural differences, but slight. But he believed that for the most part, these boundaries had, you know, they cross cultures, which is true. They do cross cultures. So Interesting. Here we go. Jim, would you entertain four? Yo, now 53. Since okay. I don't want to go there with that one. I'm going to let you play with that one. So getting back to Carl here and his ideas of symbolism and how they cross boundaries, how they brought cultures together. In other words, because they were universal, they would bring people together. Hence, they bring us together. You look at symbols, look at, flags of different countries. Well, that's a symbol of, okay, in the United States, there's a flag. In Canada, there's a flag. In Japan, there's a flag, and so forth and so on. But that's symbols. You could say that's a sacred symbol for the country that you live in, that you were born in. And you respect that sacred symbol because you respect the country that you come from, that you respect who you are. Therefore, you respect your culture. And the flag is a sacred symbol of that individual piece of land, that country, whether, like I said, whether it's Japan, Costa Rica, or Chile, or Angola, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Period. End. And what's interesting is, you could say the sum of the total symbols. This is, I'm going, this is Carl Jung again. You know, let's go with Carl and what he's talking about, sacred symbols. The sum of the total of the symbols he called the collective consciousness. In other words, he called it the collective unconsciousness. So therefore, sacred symbols connect into your unconscious state of mind. And your unconscious state of your mind, you say, is the opening, the seat of your soul. Okay? So your unconscious mind, is constantly going. You know, you don't have to think about breathing because the unconscious mind takes care of that. Or you don't have to think about your heart beating because the unconscious mind does that. Well, since it's incorporated in the unconscious mind, sacred symbols, therefore they have a far deeper meaning than most of us believe, according to what Carl Jung said. But, you know, if that was his opinion, that's his viewpoint. Intellectual man, obviously, for his day. And you know, think about symbols that play a role in religion. Like I said, the cross, look at the Muslim symbols for how they do their buildings. And there's the Christian symbols. There's the Jewish symbols. There's the Hindu symbols. There's so many symbols out there. And then there's astrology. Look at astrology. The 12, you could say the wheel of life, astrology. You could call that the wheel of life, and how each one represents a different month, how each one's have different characteristics of who we are, and everything else. Oh, the chat room. I'm loving the chat room tonight. This is good stuff here, people. Good stuff. Good conversations going on there. You know, and I bring up these subjects not so you agree with me. If you disagree with me, I'm perfectly fine with this. I'm just trying to make you think differently. I don't expect you to agree with me. When you disagree with me, I'm happier, to be honest with you, when I'm talking about like a subject of sacred symbols. And like I said, there's a yin and yang to these symbols. They all have a dark side. They have a light side. They have a dark side. And getting to the yin and yang, and so, you know, getting to the yin and yang of sacred symbols, you know, they can be utilized as a very effective tool for installing, you could say, beliefs and fears in a population, you know. So there's, you could say that's the dark side of that, you know. Let's go back to the Pentagon, the five-pointed star, okay, the five-pointed symbol. Used to be a very, it was considered a positive symbol. And as time went on, it became a negative symbol. It represented the devil. So like I said, there's always a dark side to everything, but remember, where there's a dark side, there's a light side. So as soon as if you go into the dark side of a symbol, and you're right, zodiac signs are from the Greeks. Thank you, Lynn Ann. Oh, Lynn Ann, I love this information you're giving to us tonight. Thank you very much. So, you know, just because they have a dark side to them, each of these symbols, that doesn't mean you have to go to the dark side of yourself to find out about the dark side. So, you know, at the same time, you and I can reject the dark side of anything, and we can bring in love, peace, and harmony and compassion in our lives, and around the world. How's that? By tapping into these sacred symbols. They're all not about negative things. They're all not about, just because maybe if you fear the five-pointed star because it represents the devil, and there's another symbol here that represents the devil, 666, okay? So three sixes, that's another one. And remember I was, the symbol nine, the numeral nine, if you bring it down to a geometric progression, it's three, and that's a sacred symbol there. The Holy Spirit. All these, you could say, are related to the creation of the universe. These sacred symbols have been around since the creation of the universe. And it's just the way it is. You could say it's also there's a quantum mechanics, you could say, to the structure or the restructuring of geometric patterns. And so are they evolving? Of course they are. Things are always constantly changing. Are sacred symbols changing? Yeah, I believe informationally speaking and vibrationally, as you evolve, your symbols that you relate to, they evolve and you evolve. In other words, both of you are in this together. Both of you are in this to make the change for the good. You and your sacred symbols are symbol. It doesn't matter. And you know, there are many symbols that we grow up with every day. And they're still here. You know, like I said, the Christian cross, you know, the crucifixion of Jesus Christ there. So all these things that we see every day, they're in our conscious and subconscious mind. And when they become part of the subconscious mind, as Carl Jung says, they become part of, you're tapping into the universal, you could say the universal wisdom, the universal vibrations that directly come to you all the time. You just got to be aware of that. That information is always coming to you. And if you can open your mind up to receiving that information, who knows what could happen. And you look at the ankhs, the ancient Egyptian symbol. Okay. That was a representation of, of power and all that stuff, but it's a precursor to the Christian cross. Everything has a precursor to it. You could say before there was a Muslim religion, a Christian religion, a Jewish religion, there was another religion. And then there were the foundation for these religions that we take part into today. So, and these symbols. Like I said, they change through the centuries, but the basic representation is still there. And think about this, another Egyptian symbol. It's called the Eye of Horus. It's a representation of the third eye, your wisdom, your inner wisdom, your outer wisdom, and how you draw in. So you could say that's six chakra stuff. That's your intuitive, that's your psychic realm. That's, you could say, your visions into different dimensions of yourself, or even dimensions that exist separate from ours. So you could say that the Eye of Horus there, that's been around for thousands of years, that symbol, it just translates into the third eye today. Someone would consider, oh, that's your third eye, that's your intuition, that's who you are. And yes, that's who you are. And a lot of these symbols have been around for as long as we've been recording history, and way beyond recorded history, because a lot of history comes and goes. In other words, it's recorded, but maybe through the eons of thousands of years, it just goes away, disintegrates it. The earth consumes it, whatever, however it goes away. But these symbols are always there. And they always come back. They never stay away, because as Carl Carl Jung would say, they're in your subconscious mind. They're part of the building block of your subconscious mind because it's your direct connection to the divine. You could say divine creation. You could say sacred symbols represent divine life, divine creation, and so since you could say they're divine in purpose, this is a really good thing. You could say go through the, you know, create the center, your divine center, wherever that may be in your body. You know, think about your divine center, and then connect your divine center to a favorite sacred symbol that you like. See what happens. See what opens up in your mind, or what can open up in your mind for that matter. And then there, here we are, the Seal of Solomon. Okay, Solomon's Temple. Solomon, you know, it's historically in the Bible. Okay, well, the symbol is an up and down triangles, basically. They come together, creating six points of a star. And the symbol, you could say the symbol is a representative of a, you could say the combination of opposites and transmutation. In other words, if you think about an upside down pyramid, well, think about that. Maybe that represents a uterus. Think about a pyramid that is right side up. That represents a penis. That, you could say, there you go. That's the creation of life there. And that's a very creative symbol that keeps us going as a species. And that's one thing. It's good to keep on going as a species because we can evolve. We can get beyond our craps, so to speak. And someone just said about Easter eggs and bunnies, symbols. Well, think about it. You know, you think about bunnies and how they reproduce because they have to. They live short lifespans, and you could say they're easy prey for certain higher species above them, but it also represents, you could say Easter eggs. Eggs represent life. Bunnies represent new life. So you could say, and Easter, you could say that's when, in the Christian religion, that is a symbol that when Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Okay. So therefore it's a rebirth, and spring represents a rebirth. So all these symbols are always around us. It's just that most of us don't think about it because we see them all the time. Therefore, we're not tuned in. We're not tuned in at all. Some of us are. Most of us aren't. And yeah. And you're right. We do live in a busy world. You could say most of the time we're overstimulated because we've got all this information coming at us. We've got more information now at our fingertips than we've ever had, period, end. And what do you do with that information? How do you use it? Are you confused by it? Are you overwhelmed by it? Well, you know, you got to take, like I said, just take it one step at a time here. Take it one symbol at a time and see how a pyramid makes you feel. See how a rectangle makes you feel. You know? So here I am talking about triangles. Upside down, right side down. Creation of life. You know? And then there's also alchemy symbols. And so what do these symbols represent? You say they're... They kind of represent a unified, they're trying to unify alchemy. You could say the ancient chemistry. I would call alchemy the ancient chemistry because they were the chemists of, before people called them chemists, they were alchemists. So therefore, people were trying to create way back when, trying to turn lead into gold. Okay. Well, they can do that today, but it probably costs more to turn lead into gold than to mine. But you see, and not to say, they do it today. Could they do it 1,000 years ago? Most likely so. Just because it's 1,000 years ago, that doesn't make us smarter. Does that make us smarter today than we are 1,000 years ago? No. You could say we always had this intelligence. So here we are talking about alchemy. And alchemy, if you think about how chemistry works, they're trying to create chemical reactions, trying to create balance and all that stuff. So you could say these alchemy symbols, these symbols, you know, you could say that represents the chemistry of our lives, the chemistry of the universe for that matter, they're sacred symbols, and they're sacred symbols with inside of each of us. Cell division, that's a sacred symbol right there. One turns to two, two turns to four, so forth, geometric progression. Before you know it, you got a billion cells. You got 10 billion cells. And it's all, you know, like here I'm talking about alchemy symbols and how they represent perfect balance in a chemical sense. Well, when we're in balance in our chemistry within our physical body, that means we're going to be a much better person for ourselves and the people around us. And that's a good thing. And that's a really good thing, to be better for ourselves. And then we can be better for them outside of us. And think about this, the symbol of, you could say, the spirit wheel, the Merkabah, the Merkabah. Well, the Merkabah are two triangles going into, but it's a three-dimensional triangle. It's an octahedron. So it's a, you've got a top triangle and a bottom triangle that come together. And the Merkabah is, and that is the energetic force of the Christ consciousness right there. So there's another symbol there. And here I'm talking about Freemasons and how they influence our society today, how they influence our world today. Even though it's a group that's been around for thousands of years, they still have major influence. You could say, are they in power? Are they in places of power? Yeah, they are. They are. And that's a good thing. Maybe they have good things. They're trying to make the world a more positive place. So getting back to, you could say, the Merkabah. Okay. Well, that's the Christ consciousness. That, you could say, that's a powerful force right there. That's a force that changed the world over 2,000 years ago. And that force is still there. It's still evolving. It just started with one man who came to show us how we could be with choices. And what sacred symbols did he create? And what sacred symbols were created after he made his passing? Ah, Taylor, Merkabah, it's in my dreams. Well, there you go, Taylor. Well, there's a symbol that she relates to. If you're dreaming about it and they're not nightmares, that's important, then relate to that in a spiritual sense, the Merkabah, okay, and the symbolism that goes with it. But it's also the vibrations that goes with that particular symbol for Taylor here and the Merkabah. And it's also, cathedrals. Look at cathedrals of Europe, gargoyles. That's a symbol that's been around for hundreds of years. And gargoyles, they protect. They're a symbol of protection. It's a positive force, even though they look kind of gnarly and ugly looking, but it's a positive force. It's protection from, you could say, outside forces. And, that's a good thing. That's a good symbol right there. And, you know, here I'm talking about the Freemasons. Well, the Freemasons, before they were, they were guardians. Before the Masons were the Masons, they were the Templars, they were the guardians, but basically they were stone cutters, they were engineers, they shaped the world, and they still shape the world today. So there's a lot of things that shape our world that we're not even aware of. And it's just you recognizing what the symbol means and the knowledge goes behind it and how it means to you on a very personal level. But my show is over. I could talk about this for another hour, but I won't. There's a great show coming up. That's Mole Mama with Diane Silva there. Good food for thought there. She always has good recipes, great ideas. I recommend her show. Boy, she can make some really great foods and just good ideas. You know, if you're caught in the same old stuff every day, listen to Diane. She can give you some new ideas there. And I just want to say thank my producer, Ade. I want to thank the beautiful men and women listening to my show tonight. Without you, I wouldn't have a show. I send you my gratitude and I send you my love. And remember, peace and love. That's all there is. Despite what's going on around you, internally, peace and love. That's all there is. It'll change your world. Talk to you next week. Have a great week. Bye.
Hello, this is Katie Weaver from the Psychic Sisters here on 1-2 Radio, and we are so happy that you are here.